Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Divine Manifesting with Christy Whitman and Rebecca Grotto. Say hi, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
How are you?
I'm so good. How are you doing?
You know, I'm learning beautiful lessons is how I'm doing. You know, we always talk about, you know, the laws of attraction and the laws of the universe and allowing and things like that, and I'm definitely in a place right now where wonderful, beautiful, amazing things are happening in my life. But today I'm just feeling slowed down a little bit, and so I'm really trying to practice the law of allowing and letting myself do that.
Beautiful. Because, and it falls right in on what we're talking about today, Christy.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that, of course, is no coincidence, as we all know. Yeah, it's amazing because, you know me, Rebecca, I'm like always, okay, go, do. I've got a lot of emails to, to respond to and calls
and
to
our
make.
Motto
and
with each other is always, you know, I what is it, what do you always say? You light the fire under me and I hose you down.
Yeah.
I'm always kind of slowing you down and you're always lighting the fire under me, so today you're not so fired up, huh?
Well, the universe is slowing me down, I think.
Uh-huh.
So I just woke up really tired. And, you know, instead of in the past, I would really judge myself if that would happen. Because, you know, and one thing that you're so beautiful at explaining, and I would love for you to explain this to the audience.
Sure.
Is kind of when we create, you know, we kind of, especially as women, when we create, we slow down, and I'd love for you to explain that, but I believe that's what's happening to me because there's a lot of wonderful, exciting things happening in my life, a lot of things that I'm creating, and all of a sudden I just woke up just feeling like, oh my God, I feel like I'm drugged, and you know me, I don't do sick, and I'm always in well-being, and it's not that I'm sick, but I just feel, and I'm happy, I mean, in a really good, centered state, I feel very connected, all that. But at the same time, my body just kind of feels like it's just kind of slugging along type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need to, you know, honor that and say, you know what, my body is obviously needing more rest today, and there's nothing that's that urgent. I have my own business, so I'm able to just kind of shut the doors and take a day to myself. And if I feel like taking a nap, take a nap. If I feel like, you know, what if I feel like writing, write. If I feel like doing whatever it is I want to do, do it.
And that's the gift that I think, you know, I was saying to you the other day, you and I both worked very hard in our lives with one word in mind, freedom in all aspects of our life. And I know that when my son years ago wanted to be homeschooled, I really learned how programmed we are to, you know, start running before our feet even hit the ground in the morning. Our minds are racing from the minute we wake up and we're just like, go. Be super women, see how much we can accomplish. And, you know, when my son was homeschooled, I realized our lives were so free and so fun. And you know, and then when my daughter was started homeschooling, it's like, you know, one of the sweetest memories I have is, you know, hitting about 1 o'clock in the afternoon and we'd all look at each other and we'd throw our jammies back on again and get in bed and watch some TV.
Mm-hmm.
and it was just like, oh my gosh, it just doesn't get sweeter because it really feels so naughty to be doing something like that. It's like, you know, people aren't doing this. We're supposed to be going at all times. And we were taking a stance. We were saying, no, we're not. If we feel like putting our jammies on in the middle of the afternoon, so be it. We're doing that. And I feel like, you know, when you work really hard to have this thing called personal freedom, and then you don't take advantage of that or you don't acknowledge it by saying, thank you, I have this opportunity in my life to, like you said, to, you know, close the curtains, shut the doors down, turn the phones off, and just give myself some time. I don't have a boss I'm accountable to. I don't have all these things I have to be doing. You know, I worked hard to get to this place, so I can actually, you know, do something like put my jammies back on and get in bed. And that's just so sweet. So I congratulate you, Christy, for being in this space where you can acknowledge this. This is what I worked so hard to create.
Absolutely.
And I get to celebrate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're going to talk to about today. And it's really enjoying the mystery of life. And we talked about allowing before. And one of the things that I want to really kind of dig deep in today is, you know, let the world unfold, let your outer reality unfold without always attempting to have a picture on the way it should be. And I know you and Karen have talked about should be, and we've talked about should be, but you really, it's like getting to that space of just being with what is. You said something beautiful. You said, so be it. And, you know, so it's like, today I'm tired. Today I'm feeling a little just kind of like I want to relax and just, you know, unplug from the world. And you know what? So be it.
Mm-hmm.
So
we don't always do that just on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes Tuesday and Wednesday just are those days where I just need a down day. I just need some downtime. And again, it's really acknowledging, hey, that's what I created in my life, is this opportunity where I can do that. So celebrate that and really allow it to be as it is. And I feel too, Christy, you know, sometimes when we have that picture in our head, that perfect picture, Christy's book, when we have that perfect picture in our head of how it should be, we really resist the mystery of how it could be. So it's like when we have that picture in our mind of how it should be, I think what we do is we deny the vision of how it could be. And so allowing, and that resistance, let me just say, creates so much turmoil and struggle in our lives. It really is only when we release the resistance and we just go with the flow. I know you and I are just always using that term, always talking about it. But when you release the resistance, you know, the outcome may not look too different. You may still do the same thing, which is take a nap or relax. But I think you end up enjoying that cat nap versus, you know, I really should have been. And then it doesn't feel fulfilling, you know. So,
and it takes away your freedom, because exactly what you said. It's like one of the things that I really, you know, when I do coaching and meditations with my clients, and, you know, The Secret talks about it, and, you know, all the intention and law of attraction coaches and stuff. It's like, what is the essence of what you want to create in your life? What is that underlying feeling? Because what I always tell my coaching clients is, you know, whatever you're trying to create, whether it's a new car, whether it's a relationship, whatever it is, you know, whatever it is that you want to create, it's got an underlying feeling. There's a feeling that you're trying to associate with it. And I know we've talked about that on the show before. And for me, it's like freedom is so important. And here, this morning, I was kind of like, why am I so tired? I want to be able to do so much stuff. And it's like, stop fighting it, stop resisting it, and just, you know what, realize that you do have that freedom. Because Carl Jung says, what you resist persists, you know. And you've even told me before that it's when you fight it that it makes it grow even more. But if you just relax into it and just find yourself expanding and going, okay, this is the reality, this is the way it is today, so be it, then, you know, it's like you relax and you can just really enjoy
and
your
life. That's something really important. I don't know if I've talked about this on the show before, but what I learned at the Psychic Institute is that on the physical realm, when something is stuck, when we feel like it's not, you know, like a door is jammed, what do? The more you push on it, the more you, you know, use force, the better it is. It'll, you know, it actually moves through things on the physical realm. But actually what we learned is that on the energetic realm, when something is jammed, when there's like a stuckness to it, actually using force gets you the opposite of what happens on the physical realm. When you force something, you actually solidify it in energetic terms. So it's really important to think, you know, when you go to fear, when you go to doubt, when you go to anything that feels yucky or jammed, or like you said this morning, you wake up and you're tired and I don't want to be here. In the physical realm, if you push through things, that works. But on the energetic realm, the minute you start really solidifying your thoughts around it, you've actually made it, solid. You've actually stopped the flow even more and anchored it down. I think, and we know that by the law of attraction, because we're forcing more energy, we're forcing more of our passion. Oh, I hate this. I don't want to be here. You know, so we're putting our passion and our emotion behind that, and we're actually on the energetic realm anchoring it down. So now, and so the key to that, what do we do then? You relax, you surrender, you use those tools of letting go. And the image that comes to me, and I say this to my clients all the time, is most of us learned how to float. I think most of us know how to swim, and one of the first tools we learned when we were swimming was floating. And if we fought it and we struggled and we, you know, fought against the water, you usually sank like a stone. But think of that feeling when you just finally just let go and you take a deep breath in and your entire, when you just surrender and relax, your entire body just naturally floats to the top. It rises.
Absolutely.
So it's that feeling within of when I'm fighting something. I don't want it here. I hate my doubt. I hate this tiredness. I don't want to be here. It should be different. It's that feeling of just surrender. Use that tool. And the more we practice that tool of letting go, surrender, just breathe and float to the top, the more practiced we become. And then when we really need to pull that out of our back pocket, it's naturally there. And you just, and it's in that letting go that everything starts moving again in the energetic world.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I had a little story for today, kind of some exciting news, but also a story that kind of builds up to this. We're talking about kind of resisting things and having those expectations of the way things, we, you know, that picture in our mind of way something should be and what we expect, and kind of wanted to talk and touch on, you know, expectations and when our expectations don't come to fruition, how it's really disappointing and it can really lead to doubt. And the story I was going to talk about is that when I went to Italy with my parents and my my boyfriend or my you know my partner Frederick, we went to Italy and everybody that I knew you know thought, oh my God, he's going to propose to you in Italy. And so I started thinking, woo, you know, maybe he is going to propose to me in Italy. And we were going to Venice and you know the whole thing. And when we got to Venice, we decided to take a day to ourselves so that we could just enjoy ourselves and my parents could go off and do their own thing. And Frederick said, you know, I really want to take a gondola with you today. So I'm thinking, oh, that's what's going to happen. You know, and I have this big Cinderella story in my head, this big, you know, picture and dramatic thing of we're going to be on this gondola and, you know, he's going to pop the question and will he have a ring and won't he have a ring and, you know, the whole mind thing. And so we go to, we're in Venice, and we go on the gondola ride, and he wanted to take it at sunset, so I thought, oh, he's really, you know, making this romantic and everything. So we get on the gondola, and we go on the ride, and every time he clears his throat, I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, you know, and he wasn't, like, even talking to me. He was talking to the gondolier. He would, you know, just kind of look over at me and hug me or whatever it was, and it was a beautiful moment, and it was a beautiful memory, but the boat, the gondola came back to the dock, and I was just like, what the hell? You know, it's like he didn't propose to me. Oh, my God.
One more time around.
Yeah, did you cut this ride short? Can we go out again?
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and the rest of the day, I was just like, right that night even, we went to dinner, and I was like holding back my tears because I had this big expectation that he was going to propose to me. And you know, I just was left with so much disappointment. And because of that, I then started doubting the way he felt about me. I started doubting if he ever was going to, you know, get married because he's 37. He's never been married before. He's never come close. You know, and then my mom would come in my head of well, maybe he's just not a guy that's going to marry. And then his mom would come in my head of, well, I just don't know if he's ever going to marry. And, you know, even though we've talked about that and that's something that we wanted to do, all these people's doubts started coming in because this big picture that I had, this expectation was just totally popped. And
if I might interject, you know,
yeah.
You had moved your life to another country.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so there was all of that involved, too, of I packed up, left a job, moved to Montreal, and what if, you know, so I'm just building the suspense even more.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, but it really, that doubt started to kind of get into our relationship, and it was like a virus. And I started to not only doubt, you know, if he would ever marry, but I started doubting his feelings for me, and I started doubting, like, if he was the person I wanted to spend time with, if I did the right thing about moving to Montreal. I mean, it was like, it's a beautiful example of the law of attraction. It's like when you have even just a seed of doubt, that doubt can build and build and build, and it literally is like poison going into all of the things that you're trying to create. And we got to a point where we both had to just sit down, and I had to tell him, you know, my expectations were completely, you know, basically shot, and so because of that, I really had a lot of disappointment, and because of that, I then had doubt, and, you know, we got to talk and really build up our relationship and really saw where the doubt was really kind of like creating cancer in our relationship. So, you know, I got to the point where I was like, you know what, the most important thing is, it's not a matter about getting married, it's not a matter of not getting married, is that the relationship, the connection that he and I have always had since day one has been so beautiful, and he is just the most amazing man, and we love spending time together. He gets me on, like, all levels. We think alike. I mean, he's so supportive of my career. He just really is just such a beautiful, beautiful soul. And so I started focusing on that again and was totally detached. Well, this past Sunday, there was a big balloon festival in Montreal, and my sweetheart knows how much I have always wanted to go on a hot air balloon, and I got to tell you, it was absolutely beautiful. It wasn't just like one or two hot air balloons going up at the same time. There were hundreds of them, and they were literally just all around. I mean, if you front, back, side to side, there was hot air balloons everywhere, and they were just, it was almost like a dance. They were going up and down and in and out, and just everywhere you looked, it was just the most beautiful thing. And so I was just totally in the moment of being like, wow, just feeling so grateful that I was experiencing something like this and, you know, feeling what it felt like to be that high up and how peaceful it was. I mean, you're up there with the birds and, you know, it was just so beautiful. And he turns to me and he said, "Will you marry me?" And I, of course, said yes. So I got proposed to in a hot air balloon.
That's such a great story, Christine. It is such a great example of really trying to control the way things should be instead of just allowing them to be as they need to be and to allow life to unfold as it is. You know. So that's just a wonderful, wonderful story and an example of, you know, how we can either lose our peace and serenity when we're trying to control things, or how we can just let it go and trust that it'll all be fine, and we'll be fine no matter what. No,
absolutely.
Yeah. So congratulations.
Very excited.
But congratulations, you know, and I'm sure everybody is sending you just the best of wishes and, an absolutely brilliant future.
Thank you very much.
You two are so well.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny because now I look back on Italy and I thought, wow, I really missed a lot of those moments on that gondola because I fully wasn't present.
Yes.
I was more in my drama of, you know, creating this perfect moment.
Yep.
That when he was going to propose to me, and, you know, every time he cleared his throat, I was in anticipation.
Yep.
And stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I really don't feel like I was fully present and, you know, aware and just kind of being there. I mean, I was, but I wasn't, because I had this big kind of cloud of expectation. Obviously, you know, well, that's what my book Perfect Pictures is. And, you know, it's just like peeling the onion. You think you master the art of expectations and all that, and, you know, it's one more beautiful lesson to let go and be with what is.
Mm-hmm.
And really accept, you know, that the timing of the universe is so important, and it's like you put your desires out there, and, you know, I know we've talked about this a lot on the show, it's like you have to trust that you have the ability to create what you want, but also you have to trust the timing of the universe, and the universe has its own rhythm and flow. And
right.
It's when
and
you're going with that flow that, you know, that's where the joy is in the
yeah.
flow. It's the resistance where the pain and struggle come.
And our show isn't called, Christy Manifesting. It's called Divine Manifesting.
Exactly.
I think by definition, which I would be, for changing that to Rebecca Manifesting. But again, I was just thinking as you were talking, the title of the show is Divine Manifesting, and by definition that means allowing the divine to manifest through us. But I think that's hard because ego wants to be so in charge. I'm running things. I'm running the show. I'm running the show very well. Thank you very much. You know, and it's like when you really start to let the truth seep into ego's little mind that, you know, you're really not running anything. You know, something so much greater than you with such a greater plan in mind is running, you know, this show, this thing called your life. I don't think ego really likes it that much. And so, but I think, you know, when we really come to, you know, as we become to really evolve in our lives. I mean, I look to the masters. I think I said on the show, I was just with Swami Veda not too long ago, and watching, you know, these masters speak, they're so fluid and so surrendered. You know, he shows up and he sits down and he breathes and he says, let's see what's going to come through today. And he's so, you know, so practiced in being in the mystery and in the surrender of it all. It was wonderful to watch him because I just thought, there's no agenda, there's no planned speech, even though he's sitting in front of so many who have such great expectations of what they were going to get out of this evening with him. And he sits down with, let's see what comes through tonight. I mean, he was so in the mystery of it all, too. And I thought that there is something to learn from that. And, you know, I had to really question within myself, how often do I have a perfect picture of how it should be, how this year should go, what this vacation should look like? And, you know, and I'm not really, I'm letting ego rule me at that point instead of allowing just the flow to guide me. But I will tell you, Christy, you know, that is something I know you and I have talked about quite a bit, and someday I'm going to write a book on this, on my road trip. But I had to really learn that practice of, you know, I don't know where I am. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's around the next corner. I don't know what we're going to find. I know that I have this expectation that it's supposed to be this fantastic journey. But, you know, it was always in the surrender that I felt like we found the magic. When we weren't trying to control it down to the, you know, the minute. If this hour we're going to do this and this hour we're going to accomplish this. When we were really just all very relaxed in the, I don't know. I don't know what the next moment's going to bring and I don't know where we're going to land. Boy, did we ever have some magical moments. And I really had to work hard at letting go to be in the mystery of this thing called life. And I had to chuckle to myself quite often when little I thought I was running the show. I would just take a look at myself every now and then going, you really think you're in charge, don't you, buddy? You really think you're running this whole thing? And it's like, oh, just laugh at yourself because you are so not even close to being in control of this. And that's the fun part. And that's when life becomes really adventurous, you know? Like you said, here I was just enjoying the moment of the balloon ride. And that's when we usually get everything we really wanted and so much more. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, when you're in the moment, that is the only place that Source is. And, you know, Source is not in the past. Source is not in the future. Source is in the now. And so when you are fully present, and it's amazing when you become even more present and allow yourself to be even more expanded and more focused on what is and not what things should be or what the past looked like or worries or fears or doubts or any of those things. When you're fully just there, I love Eckhart Tolle. I don't know how to say his last name. Is it Toll or Tolle?
Tolle.
Yeah, Tolle. I love his book, Power of the Now, because it's so true. It's like all of your manifestation power is in the now. Mm-hmm. Because when you think about it, if you are completely 100% focused in the now, that is where your physical body and your higher self, so to speak, can connect. And that's where joy exists. That's where freedom exists. And it's when we start, you know, thinking about the future where our mind starts going to almost the fears and the doubts and almost like the drama and can even create those like expectations and, you know, those type of things. But it's truly in that moment where that peace is, where that, you know, the divine can come through you. And when you're connected with the divine, that's obviously how you're going to create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your power truly is found in the now. It's not, I think most of us go out into the future because we really, again, have this warped, this skewed view that we can control things if I go out there. It's almost like if I really spend all my time in the future, then I can, you know, prevent any catastrophe and I can, you know, foresee any, you know, negative thing coming my way. And it's almost like I think so many of us spend our time out in the future because we have this false sense of security that if we go out there, way out there, boy, we can, you know, we can just prevent any negative thing from happening to us. You know, and I want to say maybe that's true. Maybe if you're really out there, you can always be on guard. But are you really enjoying your life at that point?
Yeah.
And then aren't you really just diluting your power to manifest? So maybe if you stay in the present and have a picture of what you want and have an intention, that's probably so much more powerful than going out there and trying to always be, you know, one step ahead of disaster. And I think in the same token, I work with so many people who are very stuck in the past because of traumas or hurts or, things people have done to us, you know, transgressions that have come our way. We can get really locked in the past and, oh, no, they didn't do that to me. Oh, I can't believe it, you know. And then we start really creating from that place, from that stuck place of, you know, I remember that hurt so bad. I never want that to happen again. You know, we bring it's that, you know, infamous picture of, all, you know, carrying all of our baggage everywhere we go. So I think, you know, you're right. I mean, the most powerful place to manifest from is connected with the divine, not from our ego space, but it's also right here in the moment.
Yeah, and I want to kind of talk about that as far as the balance, because I know a lot of people are talking about, you know, doing visualizations and you know, thinking about kind of imagining and feeling what it's like in the future. And I think that there's just this balance that we need to have. It's kind of like, I think a lot of people do this, and I know many of my clients have done this, and I'm guilty of it in the past too, is that, you know, that fake it till you make it type of thing where you want to bring in the feeling of being, you know, abundant or being a millionaire or whatever it is that you want to create as far as your level of what you want as far as abundance is concerned. And then you start feeling like you're in abundance. You're like, ooh, I'm so abundant. Ooh, I want those shoes. Okay, just charge them. Okay, well, I want to go buy that. So I start buying, you know, you feel like you're in abundance. So then you feel like, well, I'm in abundance, so I can go charge that. I go, oh, that's a nice ring. I want to buy that. You know, and that truly gets people in trouble because obviously you need to balance the reality but also be able to not focus completely on your current situation so that you're feeling, you know, feeling what you want to bring in and what you want to attract in your life. So I think it's that balance. It's, again, that balance between being in the ego and being in your higher self and being in that creative space where you're doing the tools to, you know, manifest, like visualize and bring in those feelings and, you know, those type of things, and then not actually go out and do those type of activities like shopping and things like that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Compulsive shopping, you know, things that come up. I think that, you know, when I talk to people about the spiritual path, there's so many paradoxes, there's so many ironies, and I feel like when you're really listening to the still small voice within, which we're all trying to cultivate, that quiet, spending time meditating, so we really connect with the, you know, what the mystics call the still small voice within, that quiet intuition that speaks, that whispers, it's so gentle. But when we're connected to that, we know what to do, I think, oftentimes, because it can become a dilemma. You know, I work with so many women, empowering them to speak their truth. You know me, that's always my mantra, speak your truth. You know, get out there, tell the truth. But I am also the queen of detachment. I've worked so hard. I want to say it's almost coming on 15 years, really working on that concept of surrender, letting go, being detached, not attaching myself to any of the fruits of my labor. So if something bothers you, when do you speak the truth and when do you detach? It's like, well, which one do I do now?
Yeah, exactly.
Where do I go now? Do I speak my truth? Do I detach? And I think it's like neither is right or wrong. It's listen to the voice within. Where does the lesson come up? Is this an opportunity for me to feel empowered and to gently and respectfully say, excuse me, I need to set a boundary here. I need to set my truth. Or is this an opportunity? Is my lesson to be let it go? Let it go. It's unimportant. So I really feel like we have to listen. And the same example comes to when do we set an intention? When are we fervent? When are we very focused? And, you know, when are we there? And when do we also let go with the other hand? And can we be doing both at the same time. Ah, that's when it gets, that's when we really become the great mystics, because can I really have my intention set and let go at the same time? You know, can
Absolutely.
I be detached from it and still feel passionate about it? Yes. And I think that when we remember that there is no right or wrong, because our minds who love duality want to say there's only one right choice. And that's the step that I think just screws us up so much, because we're like dancing, you know, in the crossroads. I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way to go. And trust me, there were so many times on my road trip when I was literally in the crossroads going north or south, north or south. You know, if we go to southern states, we can see all of this stuff. But the northern states, and we can see this route. If we go here, I don't know. I don't know. You know, and it's like when I get to that place of it doesn't matter. Just choose one. There's so much you're going to see and so much you're going to miss. It doesn't matter. Just enjoy wherever you are. That's when the fun would come in and the peace. And I have a story from, you know, I don't know if I've ever told the story, you know, on the show before, but one of my friends had asked Swami Rama, you know, Swamiji, I'm thinking of divorcing. I'm thinking of leaving my wife. I need to know what is the right thing to do. And, you know, and Swamiji looks at him and he says, oh, yeah, definitely. You need to stay with your wife. And he said he felt crestfallen. Like, that wasn't the answer I wanted. But he's like, okay. And, you know, Swami Rama said, yes, definitely stay with your wife. There'll be many lessons you'll learn. And then he got up to leave and he was just at the door. And Swami Rama said, one more thing. Leave your wife. And he says, tongue in cheek, many lessons to learn. And he says he walked away, my friend walked away, and he says, I totally got it. Here this great teacher was teasing me and basically saying, you're so caught up, you've been so tortured and struggled because you think there's only one right way to go. And there's not. Just relax. Any path you take is going to teach you many lessons. And I think that's what you and I are talking about today is, when we're manifesting, we have an intention. Again, we have an intention of the things we want and the way things should be in order for our lives to be perfect, really great. But I think then we need to surrender and allow them to be what they could be. And there is no right or wrong. Choose the south and you're going to get certain things and you're going to get many lessons. Choose the north and you're going to get other things and many lessons. I'm getting to the place in my life where I really don't think any of it matters, because the lessons that we need to learn are going to come to us no matter what we're doing anyways. And so, you know, and I think what we're truly manifesting in our life is those life lessons, because we're saying, I want more freedom. Beautiful. So let me set up all the lessons you need to have in order to have greater freedom. Or I want, you know, I want more abundance. Wonderful. Then let me set up all the lessons you need to learn in order to become more abundant. It really doesn't matter. You know, it's almost like we intend for one thing and we have a picture of how it should be, but really what's going to happen is, I'm sort of all around the board, aren't I?
No, I'm following you beautifully.
Where did I lose you, huh?
No.
You know, so I feel like, again, you know, there are these great paradoxes on the spiritual path. It's just not so cut and dry where you can say, you know, oh, I'm on page 13 of the manual, and therefore this, and this is going to happen. It sort of feels like sometimes when I'm talking to clients, you know, I'm sort of talking out of both sides of my mouth, you know. It's like, didn't last week you tell me to do this? And now you're teaching me the exact opposite, and it's like, yes, and both are true.
Yeah, exactly. I know I get that a lot when I'm speaking at the Learning Annex and I'm talking about, you know, write down all the things that you want, say, like in a partner. And I would say, you know, when I was looking for a partner, you know, I really got really specific as far as what I wanted in a life partner. And I got, really, really specific. And wrote down a lot of things. I mean, like, basically, I took out my list and it scrolled down to the floor and went rolling around the corner. And, you know, it was a long list. But then people would say, well, but then you're telling us not to have expectations, not to have this, like, this picture. And it's like, yeah, that's the thing. As you state what you want, you write down all those qualities and those kind of things, you leave it to the universe, and then you release your expectations from it. It's that fine line again. It's that balance between, like what you said, setting an intention and then letting it go. It's that fine line between having a strong desire and then allowing it. That's the dance. That's the work. That's that point. And when you're on that point, it's almost like that tightrope. When you're on that tightrope, that's when things manifest.
Right. Right. And I think I know, you know, what I've learned with my son, too, who just could not focus his thoughts to save himself, I promise you. And no judgment on my
end. No, Alex is an amazing, amazing man.
He's been my greatest teacher. I mean, from the moment, I don't know if too many people know this, but, you know, when I was looking to get pregnant, you talk about back in the day when no control on my part. We went to the Yucatan, my husband and I, and it was in that vacation. We were packing for about 3 weeks, and I was sure that I was going to come back pregnant. That was my goal. I was one of those, if this is going to happen during this time, this is going to happen. So I was very clear, and I was meditating in this beautiful Mayan ruin overlooking the ocean. It was so beautiful. And I remember thinking, hello?
Hello.
Okay. I remember thinking, you know, I really am, I'm looking to get pregnant. So I was trying to call in the soul of potential babies. And this incredibly peaceful spirit came and just sat right next to me. And in true Alex fashion, started giggling and laughing at me because I was like, where's the fire, sister? He was so peaceful sitting next to me. But no, he's been my greatest teacher from the moment I met him. You know, I was like, oh, God, choose me. I so need to learn. Like, you know, you're so peaceful and light and just he really truly defines joy and delight. He is so delightful as a spirit. And I literally walk in a room still to this day. He's 19. And I like get all excited when I see him. I see Alex and I, woo, my Alex is here because he's so delightful. But what he knows, I will tell you this, I've really studied him. I'm like, teach me. When I first met him, you know, I remember thinking so fervently, oh my gosh, choose me. I need to know what you know. And, you know, I did get pregnant that vacation. I came home with him, and thank God, I came home with more than tequila in my suitcase. I brought my Alex home with me. And but I've watched him, and he's so surrendered. He is the king of surrender and being in the moment. And he lives his life in the joy of the mystery. You know, one time, years ago, when my daughter was little, and he's 4 years older than my daughter, I said, I'm going to go work out, and when I come home, you guys, we have the whole day to ourselves. You tell me what you guys decide what you want to do, and we will do that. We can go into San Francisco. We can go into San Jose. We can do whatever you want. But when we came home, he said, let's go to San Jose. And so I said, oh, great. What are we going to do down there? Are we going to visit this museum? Are we going to go here? Are we going to go there? And he looked at me like I was just killing all the joy. He said, I don't want to know what we're going to do, Mom. He says, I want to just point the car towards San Jose, and let's just let the adventure happen. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, God, no. That's not responsible. We need to have an agenda. We need to go, you know, map quest things. We need to, you know, we need to have, you know, the guide with us. And I remember thinking, he looked at me, that look has never, I've never forgotten that look. He looked at me like, aren't you just throwing water all over my fun? You are just dampening the joy of things by needing to control the day. And I was like, I don't want to control it. I want to just have an idea of what we're going to do. But he is truly such a master at saying, just point the car in the direction and let's let it unfold. Because where's the fun if you know what's going to happen? It's only fun if it's a surprise, if you trip over it. And so he has really been my greatest teacher at, okay, let's just let it unfold. Let's just see where we're going to go. And sometimes it's really fun, and sometimes it's a big old bust. But, you know, but that becomes fun, too. So, you know, he really is. I think that's the key to being so joyful in life is you're so surrendered to, you know, to it all. And maybe he just sets an intention of let's have fun. but yeah. he surrendered at the same hand, you know, on the same token.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about Frederick. He is so much like that. He has so much going on in his life, and his life is so full. But he is just always so happy, and he's just always so in the moment. And nothing stresses him out. He just isn't a stressed-out person. I mean, now he's, you know, we're getting married, we're building a house, you know, he's got his business that he just opened up a second location, his dad's in the hospital. I mean, he's got a lot going on in his life right now, and, you know, different things that he has to take care of as far as us getting married in Montreal so I could become a citizen, a dual citizenship, and just, you know, taking care of all this stuff. And meanwhile, he's like, yeah, I want to go golf, you know, so he goes and golf with his buddy, and he just enjoys his life, and it doesn't matter how many things he has on his plate, he's so present in the moment, and he's the same way. It's kind of like, he wakes up just like, oh, good morning. He's just like, what is today gonna bring? And he just isn't attached to any of those, anything, really. Mm-hmm. It's what, you know, the customers he's gonna see, you know, he'll find delight in those customers, you know, at the end of the day, whatever it is. It's like he is so present in the moment, and he's a beautiful teacher for me too, because I'm the one that's, you know, let's do this, let's plan that, let's go there, let's do that. And it helps me kind of slow down, you know, which is definitely a good thing to do.
Yeah, and I think the key, you know, again, you and I talk a lot about this. I think it's all about balance, though. And
yes.
sometimes, you know, they find us, and I can say on the other hand, I know you and I are really, you know, revving up for our self-love workshop, which I'm getting so excited about. It is so powerful. But part of that self-love is, you know, I tend to give a lot of my admiration to Alex. Like, you just have it all together. You are my teacher. And, you know, something I've learned to do since we've been really in the last 5 years really working on self-love, is saying it's not just all about him. I bring something very important to this equation, too. And I can see, you know, in just really teaching him and illuminating and opening his eyes to the fact that there's a beautiful balance in our relationship. And he brings that, you know, that joy and that delight and that, you know, surrender. And but on the other hand, you know, there's something to be said for having a game plan, that, you know, having at least a little bit of a roadmap, having an idea of, you know, the structure and more of the earthiness, you know, to life. There's heaven and earth, and you kind of need both. And so
yeah.
I look at Alex, and I think oftentimes it's like I love what he brings to the table. But I also love what I bring to the table, and I've noticed that even with, you know, their dad, who I just have this amazing relationship with, I really, truly love him so much, and we hang out all the time. He's come to that place through this work where I've learned to validate within myself, you know, there is something that I bring that anchors both of them, and anchors them in a good way, not like a albatross around their neck, but sort of grounds them. Let's say grounds them, not
that's
anchors them, you know. But there's something that I bring to the table that's very grounding, and I've noticed lately they will both say thank you a lot because they're so out in the clouds and in their creative thoughts, and one thought leads to a gazillion. And I'm always thinking, what's the point? What's the point here? You know, what are we trying to accomplish here? And so I think that, you know, I really love when we can recognize there's a balance to all things that we do. Sometimes there's a time to be creative and surrendered and what the heck and so in the flow of things. And then there's another time to be a little more focused. And you had started the show by saying, you know, you wanted to highlight that, to dig a little deeper in that creative process. And
yes.
I think this ties in with that creative process. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was thinking, you know, explain to people that, you know, I have, like, for example, you've always explained this in a really great way. You know, there's times when we're out there and our creative energy is very, very high. We're kicking butt and creating things. But then there's like a period where the creation kind of slows you down. It's like your body literally slows you down. It's almost like your spirit can go very, very fast in growth and, you know, creating things and all that kind of stuff. But then there's the body that we also have, you know, we have our mind, our body, and our spirit. Our body is very, very slow to move through things. And so a lot of times when we're creating, that's what I wanted you to explain, is a lot of times when we're creating, sometimes we get through these periods where we feel kind of like we need to sleep, where we need to slow down like I'm, you know, having right now. Mm-hmm. So do you want to explain that?
Yeah. Well, I think our bodies are grounded in time and space. So,
yeah.
You know, they sort of have to trudge along. But our spirits don't know time and space, so they can just take these quantum leaps and then, you know, leave our bodies sort of sitting there, you know, blah, 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 you know, what, where to go? You know, so those are the lag between the body and the spirit is sort of called a growth period, where you're literally walking in walls kind of going, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, I shouldn't be on the road right now kind of feeling. And that's really the spirit. You know, most of us are moving so quickly, especially at this time on the planet. We're all just taking these quantum leaps, but we tend to leave a lot of our bodies behind, and they have to sort of, there's that catch-up time between. But that's a little different than how I see the creative process. When I look at the process of actually creating, I think it can be broken down into almost four quadrants. And I think in the first quadrant, we have to go way out there to where, you know, the unmanifest, there's just like this, you know, energy of, I don't even want to say ideas, there's just this energy, and we have to go way out there and start pulling energy down.
Can I interrupt you for just a second?
Yeah.
To that point, that's a great point, because, you know, what, like we talk about, it's like what you want, everything you want to create, everything that has been created in this world was once started with thought. It's all, everything in the universe is energy. So by you putting out there an intention of what you want, it's out there. It's creating, it's being created right now. But right now, in like the stage you're talking about, it's in the form of energy. And, you know, that's one of the things that we're going to do in the self-love class is really teach people how to get in. We talk a lot about getting in that vibrational alignment with something, really teaching the women in that class how to get into alignment, because what you want wants you, and it's like how to bring it in. But go ahead. I want you to continue. I just wanted to interject that point.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you so much. But I feel like, you know, we go way out there. And I think of this, I think I'm very visual. And so the way that I think of it is, you know, having a baby. When we first get pregnant, there's no sign that we're pregnant. We don't instantly, you know, have a belly out here, you know. Usually it takes 3 months before anything even starts showing. But does that mean we're any less pregnant? No. Does that mean that there's any less of a baby in there? No. You know, there's something in there. And so it's like, but you wouldn't know it. And usually, even if you think about a woman in her early stages of pregnancy, she sleeps a lot. You know, and what's she really doing? I think she's really like talking, making agreements with the baby, working on the body. It's almost like she's this artist, and she's out there in the energy realms really looking at what she's creating. But does she look like she's on fire, you know, kicking butt out in the world? For the most part, no. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I literally slept the first 3 months of my pregnancy. Sometimes I got up, crawled out to the kitchen and ate, and then went back to sleep. I was so tired. And I find it to be such a blessing, because what I was doing was, again, like an artist, creating everything that I wanted for this whole next section of my life. And, you know, so I was tired, but in the next quadrant of creation, I think we really start to bring that energy down. We really start to solidify it. And then in the third quadrant, we're starting to prepare and get excited for, like, it's coming, I can feel it. I'm starting to, you know, I can really see it. It's like I can feel the baby moving there. It's kicking. There's something in there. I've even maybe had a sonogram, and I know what it looks like. It's starting to really solidify. That mock-up, that manifestation is right there. I can feel it. And then I think in the last quadrant, it's just bringing it on home. That's when, you know, the baby is out, and we're in the middle of our manifestation. And I think that's when we really get excited, because we're so validated. Think of any woman who's just had a baby. She's so validated at what she's just create it. But in the beginning stages, she wasn't there. She was tired. She went underground. She was, you know, within herself. And so I often think of that in, you know, sort of in my creative cycles. There are those times where I'm just like, oh, I'm doing nothing. On the outside, you're like, oh, my gosh, just, you know, bury her because she is just worthless right now. I'm sleeping. I'm tired. I'm, you know, I can't have a thought in my head to save myself. But then all of a sudden, it's like I start waking up and I start getting excited. I'm, you know, ideas are popping in my head. I'm feeling more creative. I'm starting to, you know, implement those and put those in place. And then all of a sudden in that last quadrant, ooh, those are the fun times because we're starting to see all our manifestations come through. Opportunities start coming our way. Things are just like literally knocking on our front door. But those things, I feel like, didn't just show up. It took all the planting of the seeds, a sowing, and getting out there and working in order for those things to come around. And so I feel like if we remember that, I have so many people come to me and say, you know, God, what is wrong with me? It's like there's nothing wrong with you. You're probably just in that creative phase where you can't always be, you know, bringing things in. You have to go out there and actually sow them. You can't always be harvesting. You actually have to go plant a few seeds every now and then,
yeah,
you know, so you can have another round of harvest. Does that make sense, Christy?
Oh, totally. It's
so
beautiful.
When you,
I'm very visual, too, so when you explain it that way, it's great. And, you know, for those guys listening, too, that, you know, haven't had a baby, it's kind of like just imagining, like we've talked about before in the past, where it's planting those seeds and the seeds harvesting. But that truly is the way of it. It's like, you know, you're out there. The energy is out there. We give a thought to what we want, and then the universe literally becomes that which we want. But it has to then come into like a vortex to then coalesce into actual molecules to then become what it is that we want, that orchestrating the people, situations, circumstances, all coming into fruition. And, you know, the thing, important thing to remember is like a woman that has a baby with inside her, she's knowing that, you know, and trusting that the baby is going to come in 9 months type of thing. And there's that, almost that positive expectation or that knowing or that feeling that, you know, it's that trust that it's coming. And whether you're a man or a woman or whatever it is you're trying to create, I think that's the key element, is knowing that you've been put your intention out there. The universe is going to work to make these situations, circumstances happen. You have to obviously do your work and take action and do the things that you're inspired to do, but it eventually will come. And the exciting thing is like when you talk about the I think it was the third quadrant where you can like feel it coming. You know, it's like when you can really connect with those things that haven't yet manifested, it's so exciting because you know that it's on its way. I remember when I, you know, wanted to create a partner in my life, and, you know, I had told you this, Rebecca, we had talked about this a lot of times, is that I felt him. I mean, I felt him in my life way before he ever came in, way before I ever met him. And I would literally, I could just sit there and really feel him around me, and I could connect with him. And that connection, that excitement, you know, it made me even more anticipatory about having him in my life, but even more excited, and, I, you know, it just having more trust and faith that he was definitely coming. And I think that's the point of, like, right before they're about to manifest or it's about to manifest or whatever it is you want to create. So it's really connecting with that thing that you want to bring into fruition, whether it's, you know, you want to write a book and you want to connect with a publisher that's going to be coming, you know, it's like really connecting with that publisher, connecting with that item, connecting with that house, connecting with, you know, whatever it is, because everything in the universe is energy, so everything can be connected, you know, connectable too. So, you know, if you can connect with those things, that's when things will actually come to fruition.
Yeah, and I think the thing that we need to remember is when we're in the first quadrant, when we're in the first phase of manifestation, or even the second phase, and we still can't see it and we still haven't started to feel that energy coming down, I think so many people then place the energy of doubt, or they turn on themselves and they question themselves, what's wrong with me? And then you end up canceling out your mock-up. Absolutely. I don't believe it's so. I don't believe it's true. I'm not worthy of it. It's not ever going to happen to me. I can't do it. It's not going to happen. You know, all those thoughts then go cancel, 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 cancel.
Exactly.
So you just place this great order. The kitchen was just there starting to cook it up for you, and all it got was, oh, cancel, you know, cancel table one, cancel two, three, and four also. And
right.
So I think we have to be really, like you're talking about today, it's recognizing that, ooh, I'm just way out there, wonderful. So it looks like I'm just cooking up something good. I'm going way out there, and I'm going to let myself be in those quiet times, in those reflective times. You know, sometimes I even think of the, you know, the journey of the moon. You know, it's not always a full moon. It's not always out there bright and shiny. I mean, sometimes it actually goes into phases where it's, you know, there's nothing there. You know, so we think, you know, it can be just a little sliver of a moon. And do we lose faith and doubt that the moon is not there? Of course not. We realize that it's just the phase. It's just going undercover so that it can come back out again. And I think, you know, when I think of my creative process, it's very much like that. And I have learned throughout the years to validate the fact that when I'm really sleepy and when I'm tired and when I look like I'm not just on fire and just, you know, cleaning and creating and getting things done, that's okay too. Let things build up a little bit, because what the work that you're really doing is just undercover. And it's probably the most important phase, I think, of the creative process. The funnest phase is when you just get to manifest with all this energy. But truly, I think the most important phase, I mean, even think about it in a pregnancy, one's the most important time of the pregnancy, those first few months, when, you know, the really important things are being created, like the brain and, you know, it's like those, the spinal column. You know, at the very end, that's when you can sort of, you know, eat not so good or, you know, whatever. You can take a little more liberty, but it's in those first few months that it's like everything is really, everything that will determine the outcome becomes so, you know, detrimental. And so I think it's like really when we understand that, we can cut ourselves some slack and realize that, wow, this is the most important time. And so I get to allow myself to be where I am, enjoy this process, enjoy this rest, breathe, and know that I'm going to come out of it, and I'll have that burst of energy soon.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, because 99.9% of the manifestation is unseen before it's actually come. So that's exactly what we're talking about. So it's just trusting and allowing and trusting the process. So, but we are almost out of time, so thank you so much for your beautiful insight and information and just wisdom today, Rebecca. It was just awesome having this show with you, as always.
Oh, you're welcome.
And if you would like to get in contact with me, this is Christy. You can email me at Christy@ChristyWhitman.com, and that's Christy at ChristyWhitman.com. Again, it's ChristyWhitman.com. And if you sign up for my newsletter that's on the website, or Rebecca's, you'll be able to get information about a free teleseminar that we're having coming up that's just specifically to women. Sorry, guys. But it's a self-love teleseminar that's coming up in September, and we can send you all the information and dial-up information for that. And, Rebecca, you want to give them your information?
Yeah, as well as other, you know, tidbits and important information that's coming up. Really, please sign up for the newsletter. We're always giving so much information out that it's, you know, that's really the only way that we can, you know, get that to you. And we'd love to get that to you, get that information to you. So don't forget to sign up. And you can find me at Rebecca Grotto, RebeccaGrado.com. Visit on the website or, I think that's just the best way. Go to the website. You can find my email there. And my phone number is 925-829-6745. I do phone sessions. I do individual consultations as well as Christy. So all the information's on our website. Please feel free to visit us and sign up for the newsletter so we can get you some good stuff. But thank you, Christy. This was so much fun today.
Thanks, Rebecca. I appreciate it. And have a great week, everybody. Have an abundant week, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.